Here with Brian Hinneman of the Bottle Rockets. The Rockets are in town. They just did an acoustic show for us here at the WDVX Blue Plate Special, and we'll be playing tomorrow night, Wednesday night, in downtown Knoxville as part of Tennessee Shines, and have Brian Hinneman, the frontman of the Bottle Rockets, here with me, and we're going to talk with him a little bit about the new record and about Tennessee Shines, but start off with some history here of the Bottle Rockets. But first of all, I want to say welcome and thank you, Brian, for coming to Knoxville and into East Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Good to be here. Glad to be here again.
All right. Well, we'll start it off, like I said, with kind of a history of Brian Hinneman and the Bottle Rockets. You've been playing this music for several years now, and you were there kind of one of those artists at the forefront of the alt-country and Americana revival there in the late 80s and early 90s. And you mentioned on stage today you're starting to see some of the kids of some of your early fans coming to the show, and I'm not quite that young, but I did miss the beginning of things, so I like to kind of get a little bit of that early history when I can. Just kind of briefly, what was it like there at the front there in the late 80s and early 90s there?
Well, it wasn't, you know, people probably romanticize it more, you know, that weren't there. It was just, you know, some bands playing some kind of music that wasn't necessarily of the time, you know, and it's kind of like, so it, we kind of naturally all ended up playing shows together. You know, back then you had Uncle Tupelo were starting out, and we were, I worked for them first, actually. It was like, I had a band, at the time Uncle Tupelo started, I was in a band called Chicken Truck that only played in St. Louis. We never actually went on the road. But we were, like, separate. They lived in Belleville, Illinois. We lived in Festus, Missouri. And just we just naturally kind of ended up doing the same sort of kind of thing, kind of taking country music and playing it like rock music. And they did it more in, like, a punk styling, and we did it more in, like, a southern rock kind of styling. But anyway, because nobody knew, when we came to St. Louis, both of us, the Uncle Tupelo and us, nobody knew what to do with us as far as putting us on a show other than put us together and make a show out of that. So we did that until Chicken Truck broke up, which didn't last too long, from 88 to 90, I think. So Chicken Truck broke up after a couple years, and I didn't have anything going on, and Uncle Tupelo just got a record deal, so I knew those. We knew those guys from playing shows together and whatever. So I just went with them, just went as like an all-purpose guy, you know, driver, roadie, whatever, you know. I ended up playing mandolin and guitar with him and all kinds of stuff, and we did that until right before the end of Uncle Tupelo. I worked with them for 3 years, from 93. Maybe I got in with them late 89, something like that. Anyway, then 93, what happened was I was out with them when they were doing their second album. I think it was their second album. I was just out at the recording session, and at that time, you know, the new technology was the DAT recorder. So we had a little DAT recorder to play with. And after they'd finish recording all day, then we would go in and just to, you know, have fun, basically, just to play with the DAT recorder. We would go to where the place we were staying and just play around with the DAT recorder. Well, those guys had been working all day on their own songs, so they didn't want to mess, you know, with any more of that. So we would do songs that I had written. And they'd play along, you know, we have some recordings on the DAT of, you know, like Jeff Tweedy banging on the wood stove and stuff, you know, just whatever it took to make a, you know, musical piece out of this stuff I had written. And then, you know, it was just fun. It was only for fun. That's all it was ever intended to be. And so then I went back out on the road with those guys after the record came out, and we were out touring, you know, blah, 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 blah. I was, you know, doing my thing. And then I always remember we were in California. And but this is in the days before cell phones, so we were talking to their manager on the payphone outside of a Denny's somewhere in California, and he wanted to talk to me, which was unusual. And he says, "Hey man, I got you a record deal." And
this was Tony Margarita.
Yeah,
there,
exactly. He says, "I got you a record deal." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "Well, how did you do that? Why did you do that?" You know, I was like happy, roadie, go lucky. And, you know, and he's like, "Well, I took that DAT you guys made and got you one." So I was like, you know, I didn't even have any prospects of a band at that time. You know, it was kind of like, you know, yikes. So I had to, like, you know, come home and start trying to find people. And I got Mark, who's our drummer now. I mean, he was living in Nashville at the time. And I got a hold of him, and he joined right up. He was excited to join. And then we got, you know, Tom Parr, who was a guitarist in Chicken Truck, he joined up, and we couldn't find a bass player, so Jeff Tweedy found us a bass player in Chicago, a guy named Tom Ray, who was playing with Poi Dog Pondering at the time. So, you know, we got together, and, you know, boom, there was a band. We went down and made the first album and have been rolling ever since.
So you didn't really have any sense then at the time when you were playing with Jeff and Jay and just kind of goofing off. Did you have kind of a sense of the history then and what Uncle Tupelo was doing and Sunvolt and Wilco and the Bottle Rockets, what it would all become?
No, absolutely not. Not at that time. You know, it was just like guys, you know, making albums and putting them out, and some people would come to the shows, and, you know, some shows would be better than others. We played plenty of places with very few people in them, you know, and it was just like, it wasn't this big, exciting, like, groundswell of something's going on, you know. That came later, you know. That was, like, towards the, about the time Uncle Tupelo started picking up, you know, like, things were looking like they were going somewhere. That was right at the time that I jumped off of them, and then we started the Bottle Rocket. So I was, like, had worked my way up with those guys, and then went straight back to, you know, square one with our new band, and then those guys broke up right after that. So it was like, as soon as it developed, it dissipated real quickly. You know, it was like there was really was no sense of a scene going on. There was, I will say, right at the end of Uncle Tupelo, right around 1993, because they got signed to, like, Sire, you know, and it was like things were, it was looking like, whoa, maybe this is going to do something. But it, you know, that's how it was. It wasn't a big, exciting, you know, like, oh man, you know, look, we're part of this cool hip. It wasn't like a Seattle grunge scene taking off kind of vibe or anything like that. It was more underground the whole time.
And you get to 93, and that edge, that's when the Bottle Rockets really started in earnest. Brooklyn Side, Welfare Music, all of that stuff hit, and you guys have been rolling ever since. Have released several albums, and how has it changed, you know, other than, you know, like you said, seeing the kids of some of your early fans at the show? What's changed about it over the last 16, 17 years that you've been playing?
The biggest change that has happened is the internet. You know, that was the biggest change, because in the old days, you were plugging along with the old music industry. You know, it's like you really didn't stand much of a chance without some type of a record deal, even if it was an independent record deal, just to get your stuff out there. But then, you know, the internet came along somewhere in mid-flight of this thing, and it made things, you know, it kind of made things easier and harder. You know, it's kind of like, it was like, it was easier because the music, you know, everybody could, you know, it was out there, but it was kind of harder on us in that we had a record deal, you know. So it's kind of like, if you already had that, the internet kind of dipped into your vibe, you know. It's kind of like, it, you know, people were starting to be able to get the stuff without having to necessarily pay for the stuff, you know. So you started to feel like, you know, feel it on the record sales end. But other than that, it's kind of like still moving along at the same kind of, it's just like a steady flowing river, you know. It's like nothing has really spiked and nothing has really tanked. It's kind of like it's been real even, which if the internet hadn't come along, it may very well have tanked, you know. It could have. So it's, you got to look at it as a blessing and to a degree a curse, but not much of a curse, you know.
Well, it seems like one of the big things of the internet, with the mainstreaming of corporate radio and whatnot, the internet gives you more outlets, and you have a station like WDVX and a program like the Blue Plate Special and Tennessee Shines here with that kind of gives artists that don't have that outlet to corporate radio, the mainstream radio, a chance to play and have their music heard. And that leads us, I want to get into the new album, Lean Forward, and the show tomorrow night. Classic Bottle Rockets sound. Another fine Bottle Rockets record. Some of those songs, Hard Times, Kid Next Door, talking about those kind of topics that mm-hmm. you were talking about on the show there today. The hard worn, just a music for an everyman kind of thing on the new record.
Right, because that's, you know, that's what we are, where we grew up. It's what we know. It's the only thing we know. You know, and it's like even you think, oh, well, you've been musicians for 17 years or whatever. You know, you're looking at the musician side. Well, not necessarily, because this is very much a the equivalent of a job. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, you're friggin' driving, and you're a truck driver. You know, you're a mover. You know, you do all that stuff doing this thing.
It's not just 2 hours a night on the stage.
Exactly. You know, it's like, you know, I could see how your perception could get warped if you did, like, jump up a level and you had people, you know, fetching you cocktails and whatever. But, you know, we never did that. We've been very, you know, self-reliant, and, you know, we kind of do our own thing and take care of our own business. So, yeah, it is music, and it's great, and it's fantastic, and there's that thing. But it is very much at what the way we do it, it's like owning your own small business. So, you know, we are working men, and it's, our parents were, and everybody we know is coming from the Midwest. And so, yeah, that's the only thing we really know. You know, we can't write, you know, fiction. It's just, yeah, we just don't do it.
Well, I want to talk to you about a couple of songs on the record. You mentioned it is like owning a small business, and, you know, a lot of small businesses these days are kind of struggling, and some have fallen away. And there's a song on the new record, Hard Times. Is there anything personal in that? The Bottle Rockets seem to be going strong, but, yeah, I mean, obviously there's, you know, that one has struck a chord with a lot of people around here.
Right. Well, you know, the Bottle Rockets are going strong to the degree that we are surviving. If you survive in the music industry these days, that is, you know, that's the only criteria to consider yourself going strong. So, yeah, you know, it's like, no, that's straight up, that song was written by me sitting, you know, and looking at my desk and seeing the friggin', you know, gas bill for 74 right there, you know, $74, and I didn't have it at the time. So, you know, it's like, it's going strong doesn't mean you're making a fortune. It just means you're hanging in there and still doing it, which is, that's huge in these days. So 17 years as a band, you know, especially with the environment the way it is. So, yeah, it's hard, you know, it's hard times, but you can't let it get you down, because, you know, I've had hard times all along the way, and you plow through, and I'll be danged if it doesn't get better. You know, it's like, it's I've never been rich, and never really been, like, dirt poor. You know, it's just kind of like, you just kind of, this has been the most even-keeled life that I can imagine.
I do have a couple other songs that I want to mention, and then we'll let you get out of here and whatnot, but, you know, Hard Times, definitely one. The Kid Next Door, another one of those songs that grows out of the times.
Uh-huh.
And there's a kind of that vibe throughout the record, and I want to ask you about Kid Next Door, but then you get to the end of the record and here's Gimme Room.
Uh-huh.
That is just a big loud rock song.
Yep.
and really kind of ends the things on an upbeat,
uh-huh,
turn, and I really like how you went from one side to the other on the album there.
Yeah, well, it's just pretty much a little, you know, we succeeded in doing what we like to do. Like, what a good album, you know, is like a, to me, albums are kind of a lost art, you know, to some degree. People don't think of things in terms of making it as a unit, you know, they like to just tack some songs together. But it's just, you know, it's a day in life, basically. You know, you go through everything, you know, and anybody has good times, bad times, but, you know, the whole final end of the, if there's a message to this album, which it's not necessarily a message, but it's just, you know, keep on the sunny side, you know, it's like it's bad, but it'll get better, and it always does, and sometimes when you think it won't, it still will, and if it doesn't and it kills you, well, then you're better off if that happens, you know? So it's like, there's a positive to anything if you take it far enough down the line. So, you know, it's just kind of a don't give up kind of a record, you know? It's just, you know, lean forward, you know? It's just don't fall back. Because if you ain't leaning forward, you're falling back. So that's really all there is to it. It's not a deep message at all, you know? It's almost as simplistic as a hippie jam band message. Yeah,
but it does come through, though, that's what you're trying to do. You start making long turns and,
uh-huh,
taking the long way, making wrong turns, yep, and going through the hard times, and yep, the kid next door who's not coming home, and
right,
and at the end you're still able to celebrate it all.
Yep, it's true. That's the way we look at it, you know. Been around long enough to realize that you couldn't make an album like that. We couldn't have if when we were in our 20s, you know, because you don't see the whole picture as much as you do as you get older. It's a different conversation than you get from a young band, just like you get a different conversation from a 50-year-old man than you get from a 19-year-old man.
Right.
So, yeah, it's an adult album, but it's, you know, it's got some rock. It'll get your your booty shaken in a few places. Go. So yeah, you know, it's life with a friggin' rock and roll beat to it. That's all it is.
So what do we get then Wednesday night? The Tennessee Shines at the Bijou Theater. We're going to air it on WDVX, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, Wednesday night. You'll be there with Jim Lauderdale, several other artists on the bill. Yeah. What are we going to get from the Bottle Rockets there?
I have no idea. I don't know anything about the show yet. We're going to get down, you know, we're going to get down there and see what it is. I'm assuming it's going to be, you know, the rock band. It's going to be, the full deal. That's what I'm thinking, but don't hold me to it, because I don't know what we're getting ourselves into. But whatever it is, it'll be us, you know, so we shall see. You know, it's like I'm anxious to find out myself, so I can't tell you what it's going to be.
Well, we're looking forward to it then. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night at the Bijou Theater, the Bottle Rockets. Ruthie Foster is going to be there, the Carpetbag Theater, R.B. Morris, Sarah Siskin, and Jim Lauderdale, the host. And again, we'll have it for you live on WDVX.com. You can tune in and listen to it there, 7 o'clock Wednesday night. And again, thank you to Brian Henneman, the Bottle Rockets, for coming to town.
Right on. Thank you.
Great to have you back in East Tennessee.
Yeah, good to be back. Right on.
All right. Well, thank you.
Uh-huh.